Hey, Rip City, what's up? This is Domin Aiden. For the latest news and the best views, here's the Blazers Balcony with Brooke Olsendam and Casey Holdaw.
Greetings, Blazers fans, and welcome to the Blazers Balcony, episode 120 of the Blazers Balcony. I am Casey Holdaw. I'm joined by my co-host and co-worker and good friend, Brooke Olsendam. How you doing, Brooke?
Doing good. Case, happy to be home. That was a road trip full of fun, some highs, some lows, but overall, I thought it was good. I thought there was a lot of fun things to talk about on the road trip with Chauncey getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, a couple of really nice wins, some fun individual stories, like, Barry and DB. But it was long, and everyone at home was probably tired of us talking about how long it was, and I get it. So I won't even discuss the length, but just happy to be home and trying to get into a rhythm, with sleep and all that. And we have three home games, so that'll be nice because it is Fan Appreciation Week. So that's exciting. And yeah, just being home is something to be said for it. We've been gone for a long time. My bed felt extra comfortable last night. I got a new fridge right the morning before I left because my old fridge died on me while we were on a prior road trip. So I came home to not a lot of food because I had to throw everything out. So I made a quick trip to the grocery store, got a few things, and just watched the basketball game and chilled. It was a great night. And now we're getting ready for these games. And I'm great, Casey. To answer your question, that was a long answer, but overall great. How are you?
I'm doing all right, too. You're right. It's nice to get home. The smell of Oregon when you walk off the plane, after you're gone for 2 weeks, particularly after a 5.5-hour flight from Boston. It's a nice that's a nice homecoming. Taking that that first drink of tap water once you get back home, always a nice feature after 2+ weeks of drinking bottled water and not drinking terrible hotel water and even tap water from other places that is not nearly as good as it is here in Oregon. Seeing everyone else, seeing the pets again, it's always nice. Yeah, your bed does feel especially nice that first night back, or actually the next day back. That first night you get back, like, I'm always like post-game, post-flight, driving home.
Yeah.
I need 2 hours to kind of wind down anyways. So that first sleep, particularly when you got to get up first thing to feed, in my case, dogs, that first night is like, home. And then the rest of the day, I end up sleeping for like 8 hours, basically. And now getting ready to, as you mentioned, Brooke, three games here at home to wrap up the home schedule before having one game on the road on Sunday versus the Kings in Sacramento to finish this thing off. As you mentioned, Fan Appreciation Week, not just a night this year. You have plenty of activations going on. Tuesday night versus the Pelicans, Thursday night versus the Warriors, and Friday night versus the Rockets. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. You mentioned the road trip. Blazers coming back from that road trip, going 2-5 on the trip, getting back-to-back wins versus the Hornets and Wizards, if I recall correctly, losing everything else in between. One really bad game versus the Miami Heat, and then a couple not-so-bad games. One very close game versus the Orlando Magic that they probably should have won, but they did not. And then, some double-digit, close-ish losses to the Hawks and Rockets and finishing off with the Boston Celtics. So, a long trip, a decent trip. Not a bad way to kind of finish off the season as we roll into the last days of 2023-24. Plenty of stuff to do this week before we turn our attention to the offseason and to the draft. As you mentioned, Brooke, I also watched the national championship game last night. Congratulations to UConn. Covered in every single game, by the way, in the tournament, which is, I think no team has maybe ever done that before. I don't want to bring too much gambling into this because there's already way too much gambling content out there these days with sports anyways, but that was one thing that I had noticed as well. And the Trailblazers with two draft picks, still don't know exactly where they're going to be. The Blazers' own draft pick, if they lose one more game, they can fall no worse than having the fifth best lottery odds this year. And then I don't know exactly what's going on with the Warriors just yet. I know that they did clinch a spot in the play-in because they put out a graphic saying they had, and people were kind of making fun of them for saying they made the playoffs, which, it is the playoffs. Like, let them cook, folks. Don't hate. So we don't know exactly where that one's going to end up just yet. Or maybe we do, actually, now. I guess Well, no, I think maybe there can still be some fluctuation in their where they end up in the standings. But if they're not going to be in the lottery, then whatever that spot is just their spot. So long story short, Brooke, still a lot of kind of things kind of out there in the ether right now. Also up to and including, is anyone going to come back for the Blazers for these last four games of the season, I should say? You know, Shaedon Sharpe has been practicing with the team more on this road trip. Hasn't played in a game, but, you know, there's talk that they wanted to get him back out there before if they had the opportunity. So I don't know if they're going to do that this week. Not sure about guys like Jeremy Grant, who's been listed as doubtful for a while. I kind of assume at this point the guys who have been out are probably out. But some of the other guys, I think, you know, if you're not listed as out, there's always a chance you might play. So so that's also kind of a little mystery there, too, is who might be available in these last four games of the season for the Blazers. So, you know, while, you know, we're wrapping this thing up and it has the feeling of kind of wrapping it up, you know, still some stuff to pay attention to and to look out for and to wonder about going into what should be a fairly important offseason for this team.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's kind of weird to start thinking and talking about draft stuff before the season's over. But at this point, I think it's just fine too. I think it's, you know, it makes sense. It's natural to think about that. Because also last year was so fun, you know, with the draft pick. But who were the Blazers going to take? Who's going to take? Who was the team before them going to take? And I know I was at one of the draft parties and there's just a lot of excitement around that. And of course, Brandon Roy being there, that was cool. So, you know, the draft is fun and like pictures from the war room and how everything's, you know, how the sausage is made. No, we don't get all the way in there, but, it, you know, close enough to see how much. I bet it's very exciting in there. I've never been in one, but it looks very exciting and like out of a movie. So there are things to look forward to. And one of them is that, and that's kind of where my mind has been, you know, finishing out the season and just celebrating the small things, you know, like Delano Banton, like what a story that has been, you know, DA after All-Star break and, you know, Bari and his rebounding. So there's little things that aren't little. I shouldn't say they're little, but, you know, there's things that we can celebrate and look back and say, I remember that time. That was very fun. So for me, I'm looking forward to the draft mostly, if you ask me.
Yeah, you mentioned Delano. And yeah, let's go ahead and just kind of run down some of the interesting kind of statistical perspectives lately for this team. I think Delano is one of kind of three guys that I think lately has drawn quite a bit of attention because of one, the way he's played, and two, just kind of wondering, like, you know, is this real? Is this sustainable? Like, is this going to be something that this team can expect or bank on going forward? So let's start with Delano. You know, 27 games for the Trailblazers at this point, so we'll get to at least 30 games, which is a pretty good sample size for Delano. Started 7 of those games, averaging 28.4 minutes per game for the Trailblazers, 16.4 points per game on 43% shooting from the field, 35% shooting from the three-point line, which is probably the most important of all of his stats, 76% shooting from the free throw line to go with 4.7 rebounds, 3.5 assists, nearly a steal a game as well. You know, Delano's had a very good run for this team, had quite a few great games on that road trip for this team. It's kept them in some games or at least given them a little bit more scoring pop. And to me at this point, you know, as I mentioned, you know, he'll have 30 games of experience with the Trailblazers. I believe he has a team option going into next season and a guy who, you know, I think, you know, particularly ending the road trip in Boston where Delano was at last time and kind of talking to some of those Boston guys, it's actually interesting. So we were on this trip for so long that we ran into some of the Boston media in Atlanta because they were playing two games in Atlanta in between one game that we were playing in Atlanta. So I got to talk to some of the Boston media in the game in Atlanta about Delano Banton. And then again, at the end of the trip when we were in Boston, and just a lot of those guys being like, yeah, you know, like this is kind of what they thought that Celtics felt like he had this in him, but he just didn't really have the chance to kind of get out there with that Celtics team, seeing as how best team in the NBA this year kind of really set themselves. They're on a path right now to win a championship, not so much like trying to get guys in the end of the bench minutes. And so for him to play as well as he has in Portland, I think on one hand, you look at it and you're like, well, the Blazers are in a very different spot than the Celtics are right now. And yeah, he's looked really good. But is that just a product of kind of the having the ability to take a bunch of shots? I mean, he's averaging 14.3 shots per game right now, which is let's see, let me do some quick math here. That's like four times as many shots as he's ever averaged anywhere else, and quite a few more, double basically for a lot of those things. So, so you know, there's that, but also like he over and over and over again, like the 3-point shooting seems, I mean, 35% to me seems sustainable. It's not like he's getting a lot of super easy 3-point shots. His ability to get to the rim, I think, is much advanced from what I assumed it was. I think he started to kind of figure out the way that some of the other guys play on the team, and maybe figuring out ways that he can be a bit more of a distributor, or at least kind of spread the wealth a little bit more, while also knowing that, you know, the team as currently constructed right now, or at least the guys who are available right now, probably need Delano to do a bit more scoring than he might otherwise if everyone was healthy. And, you know, and that's something too that I feel like when you ask Delano about the way that he's played, you know, he doesn't get out there and be like, yeah, I've been awesome. I can do this. I've been this good the entire time. It's everyone's fault that I haven't been getting minutes. He's always very like, he's always like, well, you know, I'm playing well, but you know, I have a pretty long leash right now because of where we're at. And, you know, I know that at a certain point in time, if guys were healthier, like that leash would not be as long. So would I be able to do some of the things I've done if, you know, I couldn't make the amount of mistakes that I'm allowed to make right now? I don't know. And so, and the reason why I mentioned that, it's just that level of kind of self-awareness from Delano, and like the idea that like, yeah, I'm playing pretty well right now, but I also realize that some of it's a product of the situation I'm in, and I can't just assume that I'm just going to be this level of player when everyone is available. So like, and to at least admit that and admit that publicly is something that most guys don't typically do. So I think that also gives you a little confidence in terms of like, well, what is Delano going to be going forward if he's not able to start some games or play 30 minutes a game, you know, which, you know, all things being equal, if the team was healthy, you know, would not be the case. So, you know, I think with Delano, you know, I think they have found something there. Is it always going to be as good as it's been, you know, post All-Star break? Probably not. But is he a guy who looks like he could be a quality rotation player for you? Something that he really hasn't gotten a chance to do in his first 3 years in the league? I would say yes.
I would too. And to add to, you kind of listed all of his strengths offensively. And one of the things that Chauncey always says about him, and it's to your point about him going downhill and getting to the basket, is that it's like, I didn't realize how skilled he was at dribbling. And that's something that we don't talk about that much, you know, just dribbling. But because he is so skilled at it, he can create his own shots. He can get to the rim with ease. He's got good ball handling skills. And I asked him about that. I said, Chauncey had brought this up about you. Is that something, you know, that kind of comes naturally to you, or you've always worked on, like, that's something that you focused on? He said it's always been a part of his game because he's always practiced it. You know, he says he does drills all summer long. They're like focused on dribbling, not all summer long, but a lot of times over the summer he's working on that, probably obviously during the season as well. But that's part of his game that he knew that would help him with his scoring if he really could focus on that. And that kind of reminded me of, you know, CJ and his dribbling drills that he would always do pregame. So that's something that, he takes pride in, and it helps. It obviously helps his offensive game, but I think it's been fun for him. And you're right. He's confident, but he doesn't, you know, he's not like, well, that's part of my game. Well, of course I'm scoring like this. It's never like that. It's a lot of credit to the coaching staff really for giving him, like you said, a longer leash and having confidence in him. And that goes so far with a player that maybe hadn't felt that prior. So I think it's kind of just a perfect situation for him. And it's been fun for fans to watch him. It's been fun for us to watch him. And he's just, yeah, he's a bucket. He's a bucket. Kind of reminds me of when Clarkson was coming off the bench. I mean, he's still a bucket while starting, but that could be a really, if everyone's healthy, that could be the role that he plays, perhaps coming off the bench and instant scoring like Clarkson. Then that would be fantastic, because that is a very valuable position.
Well, yeah, and that's why I when we were in Washington, I kind of posed that question of like, is Delano Banton better or worse than Jordan Poole? Because like you kind of look at their games, and there's some similarities there. And, you know, Jordan Poole's making, what, 25 mil a season, and Delano Banton is, I think, on the veteran minimum. So like, again, that's not to say that like that's the end all be all of it or anything, but just in terms of like when you look at their production, like, yeah, I think a guy like Jordan Clarkson is a good one as well. And again, I think that's why the 3-point shooting stat to me is so important, because like if you're going to be one of those guys off the bench particularly as a guard who's going to come in and be kind of a scoring guard, you got to be able to shoot better from three than Delano has at any point in time in his career until he got to Portland. So like that, if that part is sustainable, then I think he absolutely is maybe one of those spark plug guys off the bench. And, you know, even if it's not, like, I think there's still, you know, particularly as a bigger ball handler, there's always going to be some utility there, particularly for a young team like the Blazers who have young guards who, you know, are going to go through the tribulations that young guards tend to go through, which brings us to our next guy, Scoot Henderson, who Scoot in his last 10 games, averaging 18.3 points on 43% shooting from the field, 40% shooting from three, which is big time. Now, granted, 10 games for shooting stats, probably not enough, but still trending in the right direction there after a pretty tough start shooting from three to start his career in the NBA. Also 80% shooting from the free throw line, which is a good thing, though he's got to slow down at the free throw line. Like he missed those two in Charlotte. And I even talked to him afterwards. I was like, look, man, like, I know you got a routine, but like, that routine's got to slow down. He's like, no. And then in Boston, I remember he was shooting two free throws, and it was towards the end of the game. I think it was after he got like just slammed to the floor. And I was like typing up what was happening, and he had shot both free throws before I could get out that like
he's not listening to you. Is what you're
he's
saying.
Shooting two free throws. Well, he shouldn't listen to me. Actually, let me state that categorically. Don't listen to anything Casey Holdall tells you in terms of advice about basketball. It will not help you. But I'm guessing there's other people on the staff that are like, hey, we need to, you got to like go through, you got to slow this thing down a little bit here. You got to tighten up your free throw shooting routine. You don't got to do what Giannis does. You don't got to spend five extra seconds, but like, you got to slow down a little bit. But he is shooting 80% from the free throw line, which is pretty dang good, but he's missing a few too many towards the end of games, something to work on there. But he's also averaging 7.1 assists, 3.4 rebounds, 1.4 steals in 33.5 minutes per game. Once again, that is in the last 10 games. One caveat there, he is averaging 4.7 turnovers per game in those last 10, which, you know, not necessarily something that you concern yourself too much with for a 19-year-old point guard. But, you know, that's something that's definitely going to need to come down as he gets better and better. But I would say, you know, some good momentum for Scoot going into the end of the season here. After kind of an up and down first couple months, I would say, and a lot of that, you know, Scoot kind of getting acclimated, a lot of that kind of guys in and out of the lineup. You know, it seems like he's got a good foundation now, I think, to build on going into the offseason. I think he obviously knows the things he's going to need to work on. But he also, again, has made some progress in, I think, some of the areas that you'd like to see him improve on. Again, the shooting, I think the understanding kind of where his game is at right now and knowing the parts that he can kind of lean on and the parts that are maybe a little more experimental at this point, or the things that he kind of could improve upon that, you know, if they're trying to win a game like in the fourth quarter, maybe you don't do some of these things so much. If you're just in the first quarter or second quarter and you're just trying to kind of feel things out, maybe try it then. But in general, I would say over the last 10 games and really since the post All-Star break, you know, Scoot has made some progress. And, you know, if you were one of those people that was a little concerned about like, well, you know, it was rookie season, how's this turning out? How's it going? I feel like, you know, the last couple months for Scoot probably should assuage some of those concerns. Like, I mean, he's obviously not a finished product by any stretch right now, but it seems to me that he's done enough in these last couple months of the season to make you feel like, okay, like if I was concerned about how this was going to go, I feel a lot less concerned about it now. At least that would be my take. It seems like he's answered some of those questions that I feel like people had earlier in the season.
I completely agree with all of that. And also what I've really liked, and he's talked to me about it, so I've been kind of just keeping an extra eye on it, but his connection with DeAndre has been, I mean, come so far. And obviously DA didn't, you know, he missed some games. And so they started off just kind of trying to figure each other out, both of them, DA, him, DA, with pick and rolls, with just finding DA where he wants the ball, where he likes it. And that's, I've just enjoyed kind of watching that game within the game. And I've been very impressed. And what I loved too was after our wins, one was DA and one was Scoot for walk-off interview. And when I took forever to get Scoot to actually get, for, not, it wasn't his fault, but everyone was coming up to him and just like hugging and dapping, like they were so happy for him. And I would say, you know, towards the end, it was DA that came up and just, they did something. It was not, it wasn't a hug, but they did something where they've done it before. You could tell, you know, like it's their thing. And the connection, just watching, I was like, that's really adorable. And then he comes over and we start talking about it. But just the, those two, I mean, how huge is that when you have a rookie point guard figuring everything out, center who's new to the team and, you know, didn't have a ton of consistent reps, to see those two working really hard on that. It's almost like that's their goal for the rest of the season. And Scoot said, you know, his connection with DB too, also, I mean, his connection with everyone as a point guard, but obviously that one is very important, that those two and their chemistry. So that's something that's really stood out to me.
Absolutely. And he was the last guy I was going to single out. DeAndre Ayton, since the All-Star break, 23.1 points per game on 59% shooting from the field, 13.3 rebounds, 1.7 assists in 34.6 minutes per game. DeAndre has been phenomenal since the All-Star break. Again, I think another guy too, where, you know, I don't think that people have really second guessed that trade a lot, because I feel like they understood that that needed to happen, and that what they had to expend in that trade, I feel like, is not really all that much anyways. And you got Tumani in it, so I think you feel good about that. But the other part of that is that if you were like, well, you know, what kind of player is DeAndre? How's this going to work in Portland? Like, if you had any concerns, I feel like, again, post All-Star, like, you feel really good about what you've seen from DeAndre. And I think feel really good about kind of the sustainability of it going forward. And because, you know, it's not like, again, it's not like he's like putting up a bunch of numbers in junk garbage time. I mean, like, the Blazers are playing, you know, like competitive games. Are they winning a lot of them? No, but they're still generally competitive games. And they're not, it's not like teams just like, yeah, let DeAndre do whatever he wants and we'll just slow everybody else down. Like, he's getting it through the flow of the offense, and he's looked great doing it. I think, and the most important part, Brooke, is what you already mentioned there, kind of his chemistry with Scoot and the other guards. You know, that's something that when you talk to DeAndre, you know, and you bring that up, like, he's like, yeah, you know, we're really starting to make some progress there. Like, I really feel like they're starting to learn me. I kind of understand where they're coming from and the things that they do well and how I can best help, you know, improve what they're doing well and how they can best help me get better. And, you know, I feel like that's come along really well. I feel like he's done a great job in that locker room, particularly with the young guys, of just like kind of keeping everyone's spirits up a little bit and just having the perspective of like, hey guys, you know, this isn't great right now. And, you know, I know some of you probably don't feel real good about, you know, some of the losses that were taken. I mean, I think, you know, before they won that game in Charlotte, I think they had lost, what, like 10 straight, I think, or something to that effect. So, you know, and that can be very difficult for players. And I feel like DeAndre's done a really nice job of kind of taking on some of that leadership role. And, you know, he's a different kind of guy. Like, he's not necessarily like your kind of stereotypical, like, NBA locker room kind of button down leader guy, but like the way that he approaches it, I think it works well with the young team. And again, he's got a real kind of, he knows how to be gregarious and have some fun while also, I think, knowing when things need to be more serious and when things need to get addressed. So I feel like he's done a really nice job with that. And talking to him, you know, after the Wizards game, he talked a little about it, kind of leadership and kind of how he's trying to inhabit that role a bit and being a part of this team going forward and wanting to have an influence on the team that just goes beyond kind of what he does, you know, on the court, which, you know, I think those are all things that, you know, when you kind of hear kind of the way things went for DeAndre in Phoenix, like to have him kind of really be so forward about like, well, no, this is kind of how I want to present myself. This is kind of the role that I want to play on this team. This is what I want to try to do in terms of helping kind of establish a culture. You know, I think that those are things you can feel really good about this year with DeAndre. And so, you know, it's been great kind of getting to know him a little bit here, particularly in the second half of the season. Do you have a handshake with DeAndre yet, Brooke? Because I know a lot of people do. And like,
I did not have one
part yet. Of it, like, I don't know how much time I should expend trying to figure out what our handshake could be. I feel like it has to have some kind of like typing motion to it, but mm-hmm. That's about it. Like, he's got one with Tristan now. They worked on it a bit during the road trip.
That's right.
And he's got a couple with a lot of different people. So like, I don't know, Brooke, I think you're probably on deck as someone who needs to maybe figure out what your handshake routine is going to be with DeAndre.
Well, that's now my complete and utter focus tonight, is to figure out a handshake with him. And I will let him give his input, since he has so many. I'm not very good at that kind of stuff. As I was telling you, I'm still whenever I see Trendon, we try to do our handshake. I'm like, oh no. And I get all tense because I'm like, I can terrible at it. I'm like, do I do this part? Oh gosh. You know, I'm sorry. I can't remember. I will approach him and ask him to think about that. And by the end of the week, hopefully we'll have a handshake. That's a goal of mine. But you mentioned his leadership, and it's a quirky leadership. It's a little unorthodox because it's not just like, you know, gather the guys around and say this, you know, go, go, go. You know, it's not like that. It's like little ways where, and I think there's something really to be said for this, is connecting with guys off the floor, whatever way works for them. And for him, it's with humor and, you know, just being kind of a little over the top in a great way. And two examples that come to mind on this last road trip, after Barry got his 22 rebounds, which he will say was 24. And, you know, he just doused him with the bucket of ice, which I would die if that ever happened to me. But it was very fun at the moment. You know, I wasn't in there at the time when I was out doing a post-game interview, but then we got to see it later because Tristan shot it. And it was like, I was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. And he loved it. You know, he flexed. It wasn't like, it was like, man, no, you know, he was all into it. It was, he welcomed it. It was fun. It was, he just, you know, just embraced the moment. And then when I asked him about it later, he, you know, subtly says, yeah, I had to get a new phone after that. I'm like, what? I like, because I hadn't heard that. And we're doing our pregame interview. So it's not live, it's live to tape. So I was just, you know, I mean, I was truly shook right at that moment. I was like, well, is DA going to help you with this? You know, just kind of trying to be funny. He's like, I didn't even tell him. I didn't want him to know. It's like, oh, that's very sweet of you. But yeah, you know, he's like, yeah, yesterday I had to take my phone in and get a new phone because it was just doused. But you know what? He's like, it was the moment and I'd do it all over again. And I thought that's really cool. I love that. And the other one, what was the other one? Now it's escaping me. Oh, this also involves Jabari. That's funny. In that same interview that he was telling me about DA dousing his phone, I could tell, you know, when you're talking to someone, you can tell their eyes on you, which doesn't surprise me because oftentimes we do those interviews right outside the locker room to make it easier. And, you know, it's our little space, you know, in the arena. So we set up out in the hallway, and I could tell some people were watching because sometimes you can't, it's not the easiest to get around the back of the, we kind of sometimes take up the whole hallway is what I'm saying. And I could feel that Bart was kind of looking up and looking over, and I should have assumed. But my last question was something like, for the rest of the season, you know, not a lot of games, what are you focused on? What are you thinking about? And he goes, well, right now I'm thinking about DeAndre, who's been waving at me for like a minute now. And so I'm like, oh, geez, I turn around. And he's just standing like 4 feet from us, just waving, just during the whole interview. And I was very impressed that Bart was able to, you know, he still answered the question, but then Tristan got a shot of that we put over the interview, but it was really funny. And again, just he's finding ways to connect with guys and the ways that work for him and the guys. And that's just one of them. And especially with Jabari, it appears as humor and welcomed by Bari. So no matter how you figure it out, how you do it, if it's someone that maybe is a bit more, like you've said, buttoned up, maybe you don't do, you know, you don't douse them with water, but he knew that Bari would take that well and actually love it, which he did. So it's figuring out what works for guys. And I think he's doing a great job of that.
Say for saying what so many people out there feel like they can't say.
And I didn't feel like it was a very like strong political or like it would be very sensitive to, I mean, maybe there's people out there who their entire occupation revolves around explaining dreams and then they should be mad at me for that. But I didn't think it was that, you know, political, that deep, just a silly little thing. And most people took it as that. So it was all in fun. And it created conversations, that's for sure.
I thought you'd take more heat for hating cartoons, to be perfectly frank.
Oh, no, I did. I think I did. And I knew that one because there's a whole Cartoon Network. Like I most people really like cartoons or a specific cartoon or like an adult, you know what I mean? Like the ones that are made for, like supposed to be for adults. And The Simpsons, I even, you know, I watched that as a kid sometimes. Just right now, I don't have much interest in them, but I knew that a lot of people would disagree with that. I knew that off the bat. And I knew that there would be a number with the dreams thing too. So yeah, it was fun because it created a lot of interaction. That's for sure.
Yeah. And when you're on the road, you know, it doesn't hurt to have something to talk about and to argue about. Though we actually, end of road trips, like everyone gets a little salty towards the end of a trip and like things you would say the first week of the trip, maybe best left unsaid at the end of the trip. Everyone's a little raw,
just wanted to get home.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to explain just like how like, just everything starts to feel just a little bit rougher when you've been gone for that long. So, but no more of those. We'll be home for a while. One more game left on the road. 3 games left at home. Please come out, check them out. Fan Appreciation Week, if you have the means and the ability and the time when you're staying. So thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Blazers Balcony. We'll be back next week to probably kind of wrap this season up. And, you know, we'll record periodically throughout the offseason, but we'll probably take some time as well. So, yeah, thank you as always for joining us. We'll do it again next week. For Bulls and Dan.
Peace out.